Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up, Jamie, listening in Missouri. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hey, my question is from a study that I've been doing on the gospel according to Matthew, and I'm in chapter 26 right now. The question says, what is the significance of Jesus' reply to Caiaphas in what he references from Daniel 7:13? Oh, I have one other short question.
Okay.
Tell me what is the key of David in your so eloquent way so I can understand a little bit better, would you? And I'm going to jump off here so I can listen on the radio.
Okay, yeah. As far as the passage that you communicate, which is found in the synoptics, but Caiaphas, the high priest, asking Jesus, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? And Jesus says, I am, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Well, this passage is very, very instructive because what happens is Jesus takes a prophecy from Daniel and a proclamation from David that he would sit on the throne of Israel's God and share God's very glory to underscore the fact that he is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. The Daniel passage is Daniel chapter 7, where in his vision at night he looked and there before him was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority and glory, sovereign power, and all peoples, nations, men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And you see that combination of Daniel with Psalm 110, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. So again, what you have here is a combination of two passages to make one point, and that is that Jesus is in fact God. He is, in fact, the very one who spoke and the limitless galaxies leapt into existence. As far as the key of David is concerned, we see in Revelation chapter 3 that Jesus holds the key of David, and that's paralleled with the notion that Jesus holds the keys of death and of Hades. And it is a reference that is corroborated by the beautiful passage in Isaiah 22:22. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Zach next, listening in Orlando, Florida, on the web. Hi, Zach.
Oh, hello, Hank. My question is how can Christians minister in both patience and gentleness on social media websites? It seems like a very Christian-hating environment, from what I can tell. People don't seem to be very friendly towards Christians. And how can Christians minister to people who are like this?
Yeah, well, remember that a lot of people who are atheists or skeptics have a caricature of what a Christian is. And when they meet the real McCoy, oftentimes the caricature is shattered. So I think we testify by our life and our love And if we have the opportunity, we testify by our lips. I never feel compelled to walk around frantically grabbing people by the lapels and saying, "Brother, are you saved?" But I do feel compelled to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within me, with gentleness and with respect. One of my very good friends is an atheist, and he's one of the smartest people I've ever met, and really a good family man. I love his wife and his children. I've spent a lot of time with him playing golf. When we're partners, we're pretty much unbeatable, at least in our own minds we are. But we have a different worldview, and I cannot change his worldview. What I can do, though, is always be ready to testify with respect to the reality of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the reality of the Christian worldview, and if necessary, use words. And so I remember just making a side to this very good friend of mine in a particular heated moment of battle as we're trying to win a golf tournament together. And it was very interesting. I was talking about the fact that, well, you know, if you take that perspective, you're fatalistically determined because you don't make any choices. Everything is a function of brain chemistry and genetics. And so we got into a little discussion. But look, I don't feel compelled to change his heart because I don't have the power to do that. But I do feel compelled to be ready to give an answer. And hopefully the Lord will use a well-reasoned answer. But that ultimately is the province of the Holy Spirit. My responsibility is to be prepared and to do what I do with gentleness and with respect.
Yeah, it just comes up a lot, mainly because a lot of the people, a lot of the blogs that I follow, sometimes they post very negative things about Christians or about Jesus in general. And, you know, sometimes I turn a blind eye to them and I feel ashamed about it because, you know, I should be standing up for my faith, but I also don't want to get involved in a flame war.
Sure. But I mean, what did Jesus say? A student is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you also. And in fact, yeah. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So we should expect persecution. I think oftentimes when we fail to recognize or even embrace persecution, we fail to recognize that the church has always been forged in persecution. You go to places like China and you see people who have been imprisoned for over two decades because of their faith, and invariably you see that they have been chiseled to find gems in the cauldron of persecution.
Thanks a lot, Hank. That has kind of changed my perspective about it.
Well, I appreciate you calling me so much. You know, I'm thinking as I'm talking to you about the words of Peter, and let me give you the whole context where Peter says, "Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Don't be frightened." And then the familiar words, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and with respect." And then Peter goes on. These are words that we probably should memorize as well. He says, "Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but he was made alive in the spirit, and all of us likewise will be made alive." You know, this is the thing about Christianity. You think about the early Christian church and persecution. Well, if you were baptized as an early Christian, it was usually a death warrant. You were sent to the hippodromes, torn apart by wild animals, persecuted. You lose your social standing, your financial resources, and yet they counted not their lives worthy even unto death because they saw their master rise, and they knew they too would rise, and so they lived not for mean earthly vanities, but rather for eternal verities. As we go to break, a reminder that this is why we do what we do at the Christian Research Institute, and why we implore you to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. If you can support this ministry financially, you can do so in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Men broadcast.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the Christian faith over the radio waves, through the written word, and by preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank is closer to Christ than ever before, and wants you to learn from his experiences detailed in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. Don't go anywhere. The Bible Answer Man will return right after this. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now." Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. "My goal," says Hank, "is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable." Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Dawn listening in Stanford, Tennessee. And hi, Dawn.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I would like for you to explain to me, I know Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Yeah.
But he comes back to resurrect our bodies. So do you think that initially our soul is with the Lord and we need some type of glorified body to be able to enter heaven?
Well, here's how it works, Dawn. I mean, if you would die today, as a believer, you'd be absent from the body, present with the Lord. So you have a physical as well as a metaphysical aspect of your humanity. The physical aspect of your humanity would go to the grave. The metaphysical aspect of your humanity, or the non-physical, non-corporeal aspect, would go to be with the Lord. And Jesus gives a picture of that in Luke chapter 16, doesn't he? When he shows Lazarus being carried by the angels to be comforted in the presence of God. Abraham's bosom or paradise is the metaphor that is used. But the whole idea is the non-physical aspect of your humanity is now with the Lord. And so my dad, who died in 1997, is now in the presence of God. He's enjoying, he's comforted, he's in heaven in the sense of being in the presence of God. But God also promises that one day, he is going to restore that which he has created in such a way that there's a new order of things. So the universe that now groans in travail, as Paul describes it in Romans chapter 6, is going to be liberated from its bondage to decay. And we too are going to be liberated. And what that means is when Jesus appears a second time, the soul in the presence of God will return to the body, and that body will be resurrected, and we will be human again. That's what resurrection points to. The whole biblical idea is not Platonic, it's physical. We believe in the physical resurrection of the dead. As Christ rose physically, we too will rise physically. But that happens when Jesus appears a second time. And when he does, this universe is transformed, we are transformed, and we live in transformed, resurrected bodies in a transformed, resurrected universe. So heaven, in that sense, is not only the presence of God, but the restoration of all things.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You got it. Thanks for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Jay. He's listening, New York, New York. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Mr. Hank. How are you? It's my pleasure to be even speaking to you.
Yeah, it's my pleasure as well.
I indirectly defrauded some people, and I wanted to know, should I be doing everything in my power to get restitution to them? I've asked God to forgive me. I cried for days. I can't eat. I feel sick. I mean, I'm just begging God to forgive me.
Wow. You know,
I don't know if I've been forgiven, don't know what to do.
Well, if you ask God to forgive you, he will not turn you away. And you know, what forgiveness with God means is that he objectively offers you forgiveness, and you have subjectively reached out the hand of a beggar and received the gift of a king. And so there's restoration of fellowship. And as that restoration of fellowship happens on a human-divine level, it also happens on a human-human level. And what that means is that you want restoration which involves two people. You have to have someone who is wanting to be forgiven just as you have to have someone willing to forgive. And when that happens, you have restoration taking place on a human level. So if you are truly sorry for your sin, you turn from it with God's help, receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and now your life is transformed. You want to do it God's way. So you want to make restitution wherever that is possible, and through that restitution become a witness to those who have been defrauded. And I suppose that the ultimate example, in fact, I was thinking about this as you were speaking, is Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Here you have a chief tax collector who is not only collecting taxes on behalf of the Romans, but he is holding people hostage, which is to say, wherever he can, he is lining his own pockets. So he's using fraud and deception and so forth. And when he meets the master and wants to become a participant in the kingdom of the master, he says, "Here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Now, we don't have to go with the hyperbole, but you do have to go with the sentiment. He was genuinely transformed. It wasn't just a transformation that was one of the lips, but it was a transformation of the heart. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this very house because Zacchaeus too is a son of Abraham." And Jesus is using that phrase, "son of Abraham," as meaning a participant of the kingdom. Now, that "son of Abraham" phrase can be used in different ways because the Jews say, "Well, we are sons of Abraham." And Jesus says to them, "You know what? Out of these rocks I can make sons of Abraham." He says, "No, you're a synagogue of Satan," because he saw their hearts, not transformed like Zacchaeus' heart, but still unchanged by the presence of the master. So if you've been changed by Jesus Christ, where you have the opportunity to make restitution and thereby be a testimony to God's goodness and grace, by all means do it.
Okay. Okay. I just want to feel like God loves me.
Oh,
like
he does.
He hasn't given up on me.
Oh, he has
not. I
don't
want him to give up on me.
No, he does not give up on us. That's the beauty. And you know, every one of us is a sinner. Some recognize it and some do not, but you have recognized it, and that's why Jesus can say, "Today, salvation has come to Jay." Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for Jay, for the brokenness of his heart, for the willingness to even ask the question, "Must I make restitution?" Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would empower him, enable him, and show him that you are ultimately his source, that you can bring beauty out of ashes, that you can take the years that the locusts have eaten and use them for his good, for your glory, and for the extension of your kingdom. Lord, bless Jay. Give him a support network. Surround him by people that can hold him up, encourage him as he walks now as a follower of the Master, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, we don't pray this vainly. This is not trite. We pray recognizing that Jesus, who spoke to Zacchaeus, even now hears this prayer. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you,
Amen.
Jay.
Thank you so much.
Trust in the Lord, Jay. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will supply your needs, and he is pleased with the brokenness of your spirit. I mean, a broken and a contrite heart, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. That is precisely what David did. You know, David did things that are unspeakable. He had Uriah, the husband of the woman he wanted, he had Uriah killed. And when David came face to face with his own sin, he said, "Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips. My mouth will declare your praise." Then he said, "You don't delight in sacrifice, or I'd bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken, a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." And so, Jay, those words are for you, a broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise. So the love of the Master is with you because of the brokenness of your heart.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You got it. And I can hear so many people that are listening to Jay and saying the same thing. "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. What a beautiful psalm. I recommend that those who, like Jay, have a broken spirit and a contrite heart, memorize Psalm 51. So many times in the darkness of the night when the devil seeks to overwhelm you, those words will come back and be your solace, your peace in the midst of the storm. Back here next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now."